Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. Okay, great. I'm really excited. I have Ben Philip here on the show and has a lot of background in data analytics and AI and has, I think, a different perspective on things, which will be quite interesting. Ben, do you want to just introduce yourself?
Yes, I've been working in data for over 15 plus years, mostly in a consulting role with startups to Fortune 50 companies. And I think I haven't seen anything quite AI come about, but I don't think it's that much different than other technologies, just in a new time and maybe a little bit expedited fashion. But I've done it all from modeling and attribution, which is what I oversee mostly now, to BI, tech stack integrations and adoptions. So really just glad to be here, Dean, and big fan of yours, big fan of the podcast, and looking forward to having a good conversation around data and AI.
Yeah. And maybe you can even talk a little bit, like, what is model and attribution mean?
Modeled attribution is where we're looking at, majority of the time, we're looking at marketing channels, what's causing effects, what levers can we use to re-engineer budgets, re-engineer allocation, change the launch of media. But the econometrics models we use to do that are used across the world for finance or any other type of modeled scenario. We can actually model down to very specific campaigns at what are called DMA levels, which are the smallest kind of TV rank blocks that you can get. So even a little bit smaller than like a zip code level style data, and see where's your marketing working. And it's a big process. And where I work, Merkle, as the director of analytics, they've been doing it for a very long time. They have a lot of proprietary solutions. And we really have to look, modeling for me and in other advanced analytics is as close to art as data can get. And I think that's where the intersection with AI is so fascinating, because we've seen AI being used in other art mediums, and some of it not so good. Some of it you can tell it's AI right away. And so being that this is the artistic expression of mathematic modeling, I think it's got a gap still with AI.
So I want to follow up more on that, but it'd be interesting for everyone to hear, what's like some of the most successful analytic projects that you've worked on that had a great business outcome? What was the problem? How do you use analytics, solve it? And then like, what was a great outcome of that?
I think there's a lot of examples, but I think the best situations are when you can use mathematics to impact the business, but also the consumer. At the end of the day, your business thrives on your clients. And so with modeling, being able to use analytics to provide advertisements at the time where they make sense to you and they're not just noise, and then you're optimizing the budget and the spend of the company so they're not wasting money, you're not getting advertisements that are unnecessary or unwanted, and we match that back to the model. And so one of the biggest projects I ever took on was a telecom company. They had huge marketing spend. And
like billions or tens of millions.
Yeah, I think at the time it was around 700 million annually.
Pretty
so pretty large. And that's across TV, any channel you can really think of. And when you get that much money on the table, everybody thinks that you should spend it with them. And you have not only your media purchasers, your marketing specialists, but also the technology companies that want you to spend on their platform telling you where you should spend it. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the mathematics. And so we were able to create a model that not only looked at which channels were important, but when the timing of that marketing effort should hit somebody, right? So is it they've searched three times, now let's redirect them to a display, and oh, they've come into the store, they've responded through some survey, then they need a social media post. And so it's just this big puzzle that you have to put all the pieces in the right place to do what marketers and media purchasers are really doing, which is capturing people's motivation to purchase something at the right time and being top of mind. So we ran three models, one for in-store, one for online sales, and one as a combination model. And we were able to effectively spend their marketing dollar at 120% efficiency rate. We increased the ROI almost twofold in some of their channels. And unfortunately, there were some losers that didn't get as much budget and some others that got some budget. But at the end of the day, it was successful for the business because they were spending their money in a better place. They were getting more sales, getting more effect for their efforts. But I think it was great for the customer because some of those metrics tell you that your media resonated with them, shifted it, it educated, it gave them the value proposition. It helped them make a buying decision. And that, at the end of the day, is the most important thing to me always.
Yeah. So you're heavy in analytics, and yeah, that's a pretty complex problem that you just presented. And now AI's really blasted onto the scene. And I'm just like, how has it changed how you look at things? What is it good at in doing what you do, and where is it not good at? And just what your perspective in how you solve problems now?
Yes, I think it's interesting. I just read an article last week, I think, where they tested AI and it was 30% accurate.
Yes,
which
not
is
good.
Not good. And then the inquisitive mind goes, well, what did you test it on? What were those prompts? What were you just putting one single sentence in? Which AI did you test? You can go down the rabbit hole. But what I've seen, my favorite example so far is my brother-in-law is a real estate attorney. Okay. And I own a property that I rent to people, and I had to write a letter to give to those people to handle some things, right? And so I said, well, let me just use an AI and see what the letter looks like. And I put my prompt in, all the variables, the dates and the things, and it spit me out this amazing letter, Dean. I was like, this is like, why do I need real estate attorneys?
Yeah.
So for fun, I sent it to him and I said, what do you think about this letter I wrote with AI? And he just ripped it to shreds. He's this is not going to legally stand. And so what it made me realize is to untrained professionals, AI is amazing, but go ask it something that you know really well and see how well it does. I think it gets you to the average kind of what anybody could. So I think there's this allure to AI that I couldn't do this before. AI did it for me. AI is amazing. But we're not comparing it to experts in the field. Some of the AI content that's coming out, if you put it in front of a content creator, they might cringe. Same thing's happening with analytics. And at the end of the day, you have sprinters and marathoners. And right now we're seeing all the sprinters just latch on and trust it implicitly. And then you have companies and folks that are more, let's see how we actually operate at this thing. And I think personally, and what I've seen at our company and other companies that I think are doing a really great job with the AI usage is picking use cases that it can do really well, picking use cases that solve some sort of time problem for you, but not just putting it all on AI to do the job.
Yeah.
So it's almost setting yourself up with AI to get to the point where your expertise is needed versus just letting it go end to end as the answer.
And what's some good use cases, that you've used in analytics, or how you use it?
So I use AI every day. I think it really helps with writing analysis briefs, like getting like a framework for things that you might not have thought of. So that's helpful. I think it's really, really powerful with data hygiene steps. So if you have a process that needs to take place to transform variables, I think there's some really great use cases. I think that summary statistics and your just basic analytics, a lot of it, Claude, for instance, is really adept at that. And I think that it's all about using it to do some of the work that is repetitive right now. So if you have a repetitive process, something that goes through the same process over and over, because that's essentially what AI agents are doing. You're telling an AI agent to do this and then send it to this other step in the process and this other step of the process. I haven't seen a good use case of interpretability that though, where you're asking it a question to make a business decision and that you see a really good outcome from especially the box solutions. And I think right now there's a lot in attribution, media planning, some of the outputs and insights that we're giving that companies are saying, you can just do all this with this program. Just send us your data. We'll analyze it. We'll model it. We will give you recommendations based on it. And that to me is where the dangerous components are coming in because who knows how that was trained? Who is there to verify that it was accurate? Are you running validation models against it on a regular basis to make sure the human component model is matching to what the AI model is doing? And how are you avoiding these echo chambers where, oh, it really liked the recommendation I gave for social media. I'm going to lean my answer towards that over and over again just to find out it was a social media manager who liked the recommendation or something. So there's a these I think you've been around technology for a long time, right? Like end to end, out of the box, I do everything doesn't really get you the best. And so if your company is smaller and you're looking for speed and growth and you're okay with average or slightly above average outputs, then maybe that's a scenario. If you're looking for top end outputs, I haven't seen anything that's done it yet.
Yeah, we work on conversational analytics where we're looking at a lot of data sets and data sources, and we've spent a long time just putting guardrails around it, because when you deal with data and analytics, you have to give good answers, and so there's a lot of scaffolding that you have to put around it to ensure good outcomes. And then because it's probabilistic, it's different each time, so it's not consistent. So you write software around it and use other techniques. And yeah, it's not easy. I share your point of view that you can get some really great work done and amazed. But when it takes a lot more effort than to get to a mid pro or expert level quality output. Yeah. But then you say, okay, everyone keeps iterating. It's going to get there. It's going to get there. And so you don't know, will it, or
Or where is there?
yeah. So it's interesting. I've never seen so much adoption so quickly, and it is impressive. And so, yeah, it's for me, Ben, to hear a different point of view. Oh, yeah, I use it, but then it doesn't do everything for me. And when you say you guys use it, are you using just the common models, or you guys are writing custom models?
I think it depends on the person, but definitely both. We have very tight guidelines and restrictions on which AIs have been vetted out by the company that can be used. We have proprietary owned solutions and a team that is building stuff that is just ours. And we also have use of Claude or ChatGPT or whatever one you want to pick that's been vetted out by the company to be able to use as is. It's not trained specifically to what we're doing. I think that is a problem based on the size of your company. We sit at I think the last time I saw was like 16,000 employees across the world. We can't just turn everyone loose and expect there not to be a crash at some point. And I think that's the, you talked about adoption. We gave it over to everyone for free. That's a fun thing to do because that makes it easily adoptable. It's at all ages. We're seeing big impact to how people are using it just to search for their daily stuff. So that piece of adoption. And then again, I think you can use it for things you're not an expert in, which makes it seem almost falsely smart. You know what I mean? I think we've all had conversations with somebody that knew a lot about a specific subject, and you walk away, man, that guy's really smart. But is he smart about everything? Is there anybody here who's smart about everything? Even humans, we need to specialize. Not to say we couldn't learn all the subjects, but we focused in on one and we solved and learned, and experience has made us experts in that field. And that's what your AI eventually has to do. You have to build it. And I coined this term with somebody else recently called AI as a service, with this idea of you need a BI tool. If you can build a good enough BI agent setup within another analytics platform, I don't know if we'll ever get there or not. Building out AI, I think, is the next big hurdle. Getting people that can really build custom AI agents for you, whether that's internally, like we have the benefit of having internal resources and a lot of really capable AI experts who can build them for ourselves and our clients. Or if that's somebody taking it and saying, I'm going to build the next software that's AI driven to do this specific task.
Have you tried that? Are you AI as a service, like a BI service? Or do you think that's, have you started working on anything like that?
I've built exactly one set of AI agents last year, so I wouldn't be the one that did it. And the use case for that was fairly simplistic, which was to help me manage PTO of my team and making sure there wasn't overlaps and checking schedules and checking big meetings and stuff. And that wasn't even at my current role. That was just at a previous role. But I have seen some really cool use cases for people building their own AI. I heard someone built a chatbot for themselves, and they uploaded a lot of content they had done and LinkedIn posts and interviews and different things, and gave AI a voice similar to them so that their employees could ask their boss without the boss having to be answering the questions. That's cool. It's also just slightly dangerous. And I think that's where the responsibility, you have to say, this was the AI that answered this, not me. Don't go put my name on it, but it'll help you think about how I think.
Now, how about in your
Are we
job?
gonna get Dean? Are we gonna get Dean GPT anytime soon?
No, that's so dangerous because it depends on your role. That'd be too dangerous, as you said, because it does help you though in getting your work done where it understands your voice and understand it. And I really like that it learns you over time. Like it learns our products, our competitors, where we operate, our message. And so it has, you don't have to worry about prompting all that because it like just learning you over time and then it's more effective in your usage. But no, that's way too dangerous. And agentic AI is amazing, but it's taken a lot of people time to get that out there where you just trust an agent going out there and buying something for you, going out analyzing and spending your money. I think we'll get there, but there's a lot more software and iteration and testing. A lot of people are working on it now, but it's not there yet.
There was an interesting article a couple of weeks ago that I read. I believe it was in Ad Age or Digiday. But essentially, the AI is using customer reviews and ratings and these kinds of metrics that are on people's websites. And I think we've all experienced Yelp reviews of our favorite restaurant that were negative. And so there's a lot of potential for people to fabricate the data that the AI is using to spit out certain recommendations. And I think that's another hurdle that we have to get through with AI is, for example, I asked ChatGPT, I love using it as a research assistant, right? Like I had to make a business case, And we had to, what's verticals, what potential customers could use this thing, right? And historically, to do that, I'd have to go to a financial website. I'd have to pull the stock prices and what they're doing and make my own verticals. And that takes a lot of time. But ChatGPT did a really good job with saying, here's the top 10 players in this industry. Here's what their fiscal year looked like last year. Here's the trends of their stock price over the last 6 months. They could pull all that information in. That's great. But I used it for something else shortly after that, and all of the recommendations were comments from Reddit. It's like, wait a second. I don't want to use someone's opinion on Reddit as my supporting evidence for this thing. And so we have to document where OpenAI is pulling as far as a source to give you a recommendation. And then that source needs to be verified as well. And I think that's where the internal AI is so cool, where it's locked down, you've trained it, you're using your own proprietary information to help your employees do their job better. One fascinating thing was a company took, I don't know if I can even name drop them because I heard it on a different podcast, but it was Mo Kiss from Canva. She's playing around with taking the top 100 queries or something of their Python code and building an AI to help with those because there's so many people asking for help with those Python queries. They said we could have AI use our successful Python queries, train it on that so that it can answer our top 100 requests for code assistance for us. That's a beautiful use of internal trained AI that you can then implement to make your employees' lives easier and really get some of the expedited outputs that we've been promised from AI.
Have you done any work on any conversational analytics where let's try and put an AI in front of the data sources of a behind the firewall kind of company's information? And then, because a lot of people make decisions today, even though we all have so many systems, some people don't know how to get access to systems or even run reports or know where the data is. What, do you have any thoughts around that?
I think I haven't personally done it. No, I can't sit here and say that I have. I haven't seen any really awesome use cases for that. But I think that I've been in an agency role. And so a lot of that work is happening on the clients and brands side. I think that there's some value to it. The only problems I see is you're essentially creating a new department within your company to manage and build all that. And so eventually AI is going to cost money. Like right now, they're giving it away for free. I'm just so cautious about its adoption in regards to that because what happens when they flip the switch to paid? And now you have to pay for every query. And you've gone 3 years where people have relied on this thing. Can you get rid of it now because it costs too much? Those are the kinds of, from a leadership role that I look at, what's the long-term big picture cost of this? What does it mean to get everyone trained on it, to get everyone using it? How does that really impact us from a long-term view? Not get caught up in the short-term like excitement about whether we can do it. Should we even do it? We also have a responsibility to our employees to make sure that they have jobs. And I don't think AI is going to cut people's jobs. I think you're just going to see a shift. Like when I graduated college, my current role wasn't a degree you could get, it wasn't a role. Digital analytics and marketing analytics was just in its infancy, right? And there's tens of thousands of people like me in roles that wasn't even a thing. And so that's where I think you'll see AI go as well. There's jobs that will be commonplace in every company 10 years from now that do not exist right now.
Yep. Yeah, I worry. Like, we're a software developer tools company, and people think AI is just going to write all the software for you. And, like, the negative effect is that people don't study computer science.
Yes.
We don't get enough new talent because we need talent. Okay, you can be more productive with AI coding, but you still need humans as part of the whole orchestration, building, and supporting. And but there's less people studying computer science now because of they think the opportunity is not there in the future. And I agree, roles will continue to shift and new opportunities, but how to think critically and analytically is a skill, and you have to do it with learnings and teaching and experience. And yeah, I worry about that. I don't know, do you see that happening like in your field where people aren't studying
Yes, a hundred
analytics?
percent.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. I think I don't have any hard numbers to support it, but we're seeing a lot of people who have marketing degrees, people who have business degrees from a four-year school, going and getting a master's then in analytics of some sort and transitioning into analytics. And that to me is a sign of people who didn't start with analytics, but then they got into the real business world and they said, oh, this could be a differentiator for me. There's a need. This could set me up for future success. I taught at Florida State for a little while.
Oh, nice.
And there's a young lady who's now I think she's a VP of an agency out of New York. And she was in my intro to stats class and she was a marketing major. And I joked with her on LinkedIn the other day, oh, I guess my intro to stats class really set your career up for success. But no, she got her degree, she got into marketing and she realized, oh my gosh, I need that professor was talking about how math and analytics and statistics is important was, and then she went back and got an advanced degree in marketing analytics. And
Yeah.
so I think I see it in our field as well.
So where do you think things are going, like in the work you're doing in marketing? Because certainly analytics, marketing, go to market, all the things you talked about, channels and conversion, it's all data driven. And like, where do you see it going, like with AI and data and helping improve customer acquisition? Where do you think things are going? How will it change?
I love these questions because technically my job is to make predictions as a statistician. So I'll just caveat everything I'm about to say with I'm never more than 95% sure of anything.
So
But
that's pretty damn good.
not to say all this is 95%, but I think it's going to be a big player. I think you're already seeing people using it to search product recommendations, to learn about things. And so I don't think that's going to go away. I think it'll grow. Some of the pieces that I'm seeing are Google search is AI, Gemini search now, right? The first thing you get is AI. I think you're going to start seeing companies that have created a very strong AI component are going to have a consolidation across the people who have money to purchase them. Like the tech bubble back in the 90s. And are you really going to turn down $3 billion for your really cool feature if somebody comes knocking wanting to buy it to incorporate in their AI? So I think you will see a consolidation. I don't think it's going to be a bunch of independent AIs out there forever. I think that you're going to start seeing it a lot more on internal website. Don't go to ChatGPT to figure out which shoe from shoe company X is the best shoe for you. Upload a picture of your foot and we'll tell you the five shoes that would really be comfortable for you. And here's the colors they come in. And I think it's fascinating some of the it's really an idea generator, this artificial intelligence. And so being able to take a picture of your house and say, what color should I paint it? Which flowers should I plant in front of my house? Because I want to maximize the sale of my house. And AI gives you five or six different color palettes and you can try them on. And that kind of stuff
Yeah,
is
it's amazing.
fascinating. And then you monetize it through marketing by going to a paint retailer and saying, hey, we're going to recommend not just gray, but your company's gray, right? So you can co-market that. And so I think it's here to stay. And I think the trajectory is still on the upswing, but there will be a leveling off, especially as new entrants into the market come. And I think there will be pieces. And for me, we're all building AI cars right now. And if you ever get into mechanics, not every transmission works with every engine. And not everybody needs oversized tires, and not everybody needs to tune their engine a certain way. Not everybody needs dual exhaust. And so how are you going to pick the pieces of technology that drive your business? How are you going to stay away from the new hot thing and because it doesn't really work for you? And how are you going to say, I just need to get my car driving as fast as possible responsibly? Because we could all go drive 300 miles an hour and we would end up crashing into each other. But maybe we can get to 80 miles an hour safely by using unleaded gasoline or something. And so that's where I think you're going to start seeing companies realize that it needs to be owned by you to really drive your business.
Yeah, so more thoughtful about solving your issues and problems and applying it appropriately. Smarter buyers and smarter investments in your own automation and use of AI as a company.
And I think everybody wants to be AI. AI has become somewhat of a marketing term. Oh, we're AI powered.
Yeah.
My dad owned a software company for years and he still helps manage it. And it's gotten acquired. And we had a conversation about AI the other day. And I said, what's the biggest time constraint that your software we need to write these bills of lading for transportation. And I said, that's where you go implement AI first. That's 100% a use case that AI can handle. You can use that within a week or two. You could have a beta of that implemented, but don't expect it to route 10,000 trucks to the right location at the right time with the right weight. And if you're waiting to use AI till it solves all your problems, then you're going to be behind. But yeah. I think everyone in every business can find one or two pieces of the process that could be sped up by AI. And that's how I would start.
Yeah.
Tinker and optimize in that way.
Yeah.
Don't just shoot for the moon and say, this thing's going to do everything for us now.
Yep. And what do you, like SEO, we're all getting hit by, do you have a point of view? Like what's going to happen? Like everyone's traffic is going down and we talked about Google search, AI overviews, and now everyone's using ChatGPT. They're not even going in Google search. And so everyone that's trying to get organic traffic it's all going down. Do you have any point of view of what's going to happen or how do you strategize to improve that?
Yeah, I think you have to look at what search really is in a marketing context, and it's an immediate need fulfiller. We don't search unless we're motivated to buy the product. So this whole last 20 years has been how do I get my company to be number one in search?
Yeah.
So that it's somebody is motivated. They want to buy an umbrella. They want to ride a unicorn across a rainbow, and I want to be the unicorn provider or whatever your thing is. And Google has owned the algorithm and owned that space. And I think they will continue to. I don't think they have too much at stake. They're too smart over there to do that. And I think other people will also adapt. So I think it's just, again, a retooling of the same feature. Just because you're searching AI now, because it gives you a new interface to compare products for you, I think that's amazing. We are seeing a dip across the industry in search going down. But if you look at it from a last touch attribution standpoint, I think people are researching with AI and then they're doing more branded search to get to the company's website to go buy the product.
Yeah. And I'm really curious what OpenAI is going to do. They're talking about putting out an AI powered browser, and what are they going to do? You seem to be into the marketing analytics and what's happening there. Any insight there, or you're waiting like we are? Like,
I don't have any insight. I think OpenAI is at a point now where it needs to monetize itself, and there's the age-old question in business: do I charge my users or do I charge the people for being a recommendation, right? Look at affiliate marketing, right? Like, I don't want to charge my users. I want to put my ad in a place where my users already are. And I think that's what OpenAI is trying to figure out now, because they've sunk a lot of money into essentially a free product. And they're probably going to try to attack it in one way, saying, our AI is really good. Would you like to pay us for your owned version of it? But I think with the power of LLMs, and as people are learning how to write their own LLMs, that's not as strong of a long-term play, because what's the break-even point between building my own and just buying your solution? And then the other way to monetize it is to get people to purchase space on it, ad space, and pay just like Google has. You pay for your clicks. And so I would assume they've got smart people over there who have run the numbers, and they feel that avenue of monetization is the way to go. And then I think we come back to the consolidation. How far do you dip into the status quo before somebody makes you an offer? So it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, but yeah, no doubt.
It's not so new that it's not business that we've been dealing with for 50 years when it comes to advertising and marketing and ad space, whether it be magazines, newspapers, search, web. It's a different flavor, but at the end of the day, I think it boils down to essentially the same questions and the same to monetize it.
Yeah. And is there a question you wish I would have asked you that you wanted to share with the audience?
Sorry, insert joke here. Yeah, I was hoping you'd ask me my sign and my favorite flavor of ice cream. But I think I read an article and it said the top three things people are using AI for. Number two was analytics. And I'll be honest, I took a little offense to that. And then I started thinking about it and I said, people are using AI for the thing that they're not good at or the thing that they don't like to do. So the fact that people need analytics to be the second most thing AI is used for makes me feel pretty good in my job security. And I'll just send a warning over there that as somebody who is a professional analytics who works with lots of other people who are professionals in analytics, just keep an open eye on it and make sure you're actually getting what you want out of it, because AI is not trained to fail. You put data in, it will give you an answer no matter what. And you still need people, whether it's analytics or any other profession, to verify and validate and run, give you some confidence to trust that, especially if you're using it to make 6, 7, 8-figure decisions moving forward. But if you want to have it add up your weekly grocery spending, then yeah, go for it.
Yeah, it's true. The AI will always give you an answer, but you still, it may not be the right answer or causation or there's a lot that goes into it. And so Ben, how can people get in touch with you? And if they want to learn more about what you're doing, your company?
Yeah, I work at Merkle. So that's www.merkle.com, Merkle. And my LinkedIn is Benjamin, BenjaminFilip, Philip, Benjamin Philip. Feel free to reach out, send me messages. I love just having conversations around AI, data, leadership. And I think I really love the company I'm working for now. I'm newer to the organization. And my personal philosophies on leadership, data, technology, marketing, I've never worked at a company that right off the bat, those were just so in line. So if you like me, check out Merkle. And if you like Merkle, check out me. And if you like Dean, then definitely check us out.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate you sharing your perspective. And I think it's helping keeping everyone grounded a little bit. I've interviewed a lot of people and you are calling like it is. It's useful. Be careful. You need professional, verify. And so anyways, I appreciate the interview here.
Yeah, it's a snake oil, right? I've sat into a lot of pitches from companies that are promising the world, and it's a little bit daunting, and it almost makes you feel like, I can't believe you're not doing this yet. But go with trusted companies, go with trusted agencies. One of the things I think agencies are actually going to shine in the world of AI is because we see all the verticals, all the industries, all the use cases. We have a responsible framework. And so if there's 5% of these, I don't know if I should do this, engage with a company that's doing it. Engage with people like Dean, engage with agencies that are on top of it. And I think most people in our space, Dean, I know you're one, like, you'll take the questions, you'll have the conversations, but don't just run blindly into the wall. And I think we're going to see, I predict by the end of the year, we're going to see the first big, huge faux pas, like even bigger than Elmo's Twitter getting hacked, like somebody's going to have made a decision using AI or put out something with the use of AI that doesn't go well for them. So don't be that guy.
Yeah,
or girl, or person.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Thank you so much, Ben. Appreciate you being on the show, and thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. Look forward to chatting again in the future. Excellent. Take care.
Okay, thanks. Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot, post it to your favorite social platform, or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AIDataDrivenLeadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen. And if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida and Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.